First of all, I just want to thank everyone here and the congregation in general for inviting me back and giving me the privilege and opportunity to come and speak. I've lost my voice. And to share with you today. So, excuse me for that. Anyway, I'm going to start off by reading a couple of very familiar portions from Scripture. The first is going to be from the book of Ecclesiastes. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The other portion of Scripture is also familiar to many of you. It's from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Pardon me for a moment here. Thank you for the water. You know, that portion from Ecclesiastes is very, very familiar to all of us. We've heard it throughout our lives. We've heard it in song. Yet when we look at the world since March of last year, it seems that there is too little time to laugh, too few opportunities to dance, far too few chances to embrace. Instead, our lives seem to be filled with mourning and weeping and refraining from embracing. And even when we mourn, it seems off. We can't mourn effectively. We can't mourn properly because we are doing so much completely alone. There's limits to the number of people that are coming to funerals. And it isn't just a matter of paying respect to the deceased, but providing comfort to the living, to providing someone to hug and to assure you and to be with you during our times of great loss. And there is so much that we have lost, not just loved ones who have passed on during this period, but we have lost opportunities to see loved ones, to see family, to see friends, to see children or grandchildren that might live outside of the area, outside of the country. We've lost the chance to hug, to kiss. We've lost chances for visiting people in the hospital, those who might be in nursing homes. We've missed going to sports. We've missed traveling. We've missed going to the arts. And it isn't just about taking in a sporting event. It isn't just about going and traveling and see wonderful architectural or artistic or cultural relics and beautiful things that God has inspired. going, listening to the arts, the ballet, the symphony. It's about connecting with other people. And we grieve also for a loss of uncertainty, what the future will look like for us, for our children, for their grandchildren. We still don't know what this new normal is even going to look like, even though we're getting closer to it as more and more of us become vaccinated. So much financial insecurity. A lot of people have had their businesses either closed during the various waves and shutdowns that took place, or just received significant economic impact, loss of lots of customers, loss of livelihood, loss of jobs. And so we mourn. We mourn. And so much of this, again, comes back to the sense of being alone. And we know that in Genesis chapter 2, that God wrote, "It is not good for man to be alone." And this is right before when he had Adam go into a deep sleep and then removed the rib from Adam and created Eve. And this, keep in mind, was a time when Adam had complete communion with God. It was God and Adam, and that's all it was. And you think, how wonderful for Adam, and truly how wonderful for Adam. Indeed it was. But God understood that we and Adam are social beings, and that being around others is what gives us joy and makes us feel alive, makes us feel part of a community, part of a society. And so to be alone, we do take on so much and internalize, even when God is in our midst. And I suggest God is just as much in our midst today as it was for Adam in the Garden of Eden. We don't see God physically today, but we sense him. And we know he is with us. We see his love, and we feel his hand upon us. And we hear his voice, and we sense his guidance. Yet we still yearn and long and want so desperately to be around others, particularly those special others that God has brought into our lives. Yet we are not alone. And this lovely, lovely portion from Matthew, very familiar to all of us. 3 short verses. But it starts out, "Come to me." And I suggest he's not saying that as an order, as a command. And I suggest he's not even saying that as a request, but rather as an invitation. Come to me. Each one of you, come to me. And he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." And I suggest to us that is all of us. We are all weary, not just during COVID, and certainly during COVID, we're exceedingly weary. We're weary about when is things going to get better? When are things going to get familiar? When are we going to get back to our routines? And there's a lot to be said about routines. There's a lot to be said about knowing, in a sense, what the future looks like, even though in many ways, and hopefully in all ways, we have laid our future before God, but we know that we hold on to some of it, a lot of it, that we want to know, at least in small ways, what the future will look like. I'm talking about celebrating small ways what the future will look like. I was just in a store just down on Portage over by, I think it's Ferry Road, Family Foods. And first time since the pandemic, they have removed their walking arrows up and down the aisles. I go, what a wonderful thing. I can walk up and down an aisle. If I wanted it just right there, I don't have to do this. Small little joys in our life that we all took for granted. In a sense that, okay, things are becoming more relaxed. Things are becoming better. And we celebrate that. But God says, just come to me. And then he says, quite interesting, because he knows, you know, we're weary and burdened. And what does he say? Take my yoke upon you. I used to work at a canoeing camp years ago, like in the early 70s. And we carry a canoe by yourself, at least the ones that we had, which were wooden canoes, canvas covered. There was a yoke in the middle that you would put over your shoulders, and you put your hands up, and you could carry this entire very heavy canoe on your shoulders, and you'd walk the portage, and you feel compressed. I used to be over 6 feet tall and carrying a few canoes. That's how I am now, this short. But it was a lot of work. The yoke made it more comfortable, without question, but it was still just a lot of work, a lot of pain. And also, when I hear the word yoke, I think about oxen, and we picture them yoked together, and I think that is what God is talking about here. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Again, I've always been short, and often in sports, you'd be paired up with people that were comparable height in gym class and stuff like that, so I'd be put together with other short people, put two short people together, not two strong people, not a lot gets done. We're just not as strong. You get two big, strong guys, and they could do so much, you know, whether it's in football drills, you know, pushing the blocking sleds, and doesn't go anywhere, lifting weights, no. But he says, take my yoke. And what he's saying is, I'll do the work. I'm going to ask you to put it on because there's work to do. But you just chill for a bit, and I will take care of the burden. Lay your burden upon me and allow me to furrow that ground that's full of rocks and dry and hard. The day-to-day grind, the sadness, the burden. Because for whatever reason, and I know I'm in the midst of people that not only love God but know God, yet despite knowing this, despite the irony of this, there is a part of us that wants to hold on to our burdens because we feel if we hold on to them, we can take care of them. If we take on the worries of our children or grandchildren, we can hopefully find a solution for them, even though we can't, even though we don't have the means, but we want to. So we lie in bed awake, agonizing over them or about our future. People getting close to retirement age, where's that money going to come from? And yes, we'll pray to God, please God, help me with whatever it is, but then we'll take it back upon us and we'll lie in bed 2, 3, 4 in the morning, eyes wide open, looking at a ceiling, wondering how it's all going to play out. It's called being human. It is not called being a bad Christian, not in the slightest. God isn't here to condemn us for being human, but to recognize that because we are human and because Jesus knew what it was like to live in this world, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come, take upon my yoke and let me do the work. All we basically are doing then is walking beside him, walking alongside him while he's doing the fixing, the lifting, the caring, the looking after, the taking care of, the loving. It's not easy being Christian, and it's not easy being human. And the reason I say it's not easy being Christian is because, A, our sin is ever before us, and temptation is ever before us. And I love that skit. I love that puppet. I don't want to call it a puppet show because it was much more that ministry. But there's badness. And even when you're a king and you've got it all, man, we still want more, don't we? We still want more. I mean, David could have had anything, any wife, and he chose another man's. That's a sin in us. And then when it's revealed to us, boy, we grieve. We grieve because we've blown it and there's consequences on this earth. We grieve because we played God. We really played God. And we chose what we felt was best for us. Which means we insult God. We don't trust God. We don't love God. We thumb our nose at God in many ways. You've given me all this. No, I want that. Forget you. Forget what you think is best for me. That is what I want. But he says, come to me. There's so much in this world that is so lovely. and so good. Yet we worry about what we don't have. And so we do mourn, and we do weep, and we don't embrace, and we don't embrace God as much as we could, as much as we should. And again, I mean, truly, thank you, God, for sending Jesus, not just to be our Savior, but thank you for sending somebody who lived in this world and know how hard it is despite how easy it is. How many days did Jesus truly not know where his next meal was going to come from, let alone where he was going to lay his head, as he said in Scripture? Let alone knowing that one of his best friends, one of his closest confidants, is going to betray him. Knowing all the temptations, but being faithful to God. Thank you, God, for having somebody that knows what it's like. Because it is difficult. And we do want. I mean, 23rd Psalm, we know, and it is so beautiful. But we cannot get past the fact that it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That first part is easy, the Lord being our shepherd. But boy, that "I shall not want," that is it right there. That is the part that just we struggle with, because we want. Big things, little things. Yes, we want our children to be healthy, our children to be happy, our children to have lovely marriages, even probably more than we want those things for ourselves, which is lovely that we love others so much. But we want. And when they are struggling, we want to fix it. Or we want God to fix it yesterday. Yet if I were to do a survey here of probably all Christians everywhere, the time when we've grown the most has been the time when we've been in that valley of deep darkness, when God has allowed us to struggle. Why? So when we cry out, we can see his hand. We can see his hand of deliverance. We can see his hand of faithfulness. We can see his hand of love. Yet we still want the smooth path. We are, I would say, probably clearly emerging from this time of COVID, so dominating every facet of our lives. I'm looking forward on Thursday. My wife and I are getting our second vaccination, so then 2 weeks later we'll be considered fully vaccinated. I have three children. My son is in Banff. My two daughters live in California, although one has been staying with in-laws in Michigan. I haven't seen my daughters. It'll be 2 years this December, and I'm hoping to see them in 2 years. And I've got grandchildren. They're three, 5, and 8, which means they were 1, 3, and 6 when I last saw them. Big changes, and technology is lovely. It's not the same. It's not the same. And everybody here can come up with stories of separation and loss. And we've had a season. But hopefully during this season, we will still find the time to rejoice, to find peace, to dance, to laugh, to love, and to recognize God in our midst. Because praise God, truly praise God, we are not alone. Despite what alone feels to us, and for many of us alone means being with another human being, I don't care how good your marriage is, how much you're in love. People let down people. It's what we're good at, and it's not a great thing, but it's true. God doesn't let us down. Don't get me wrong. Speaking for myself, he plays with my head way too much, only because he is God. And I think, man, you could have fixed this now. You didn't really have to have me go through all this. You know, can we check the day planner and, you know, slot Greg in a little bit sooner, please, on how you're going to solve this? That's what we want. But good heavens. I'm talking me now. I look at the world that doesn't know God, and I just think how sad for them. Not just sad from a salvation point of view, but sad from the loss of the richness of life. A, not seeing God's incredible hand of creation in everything. I mean, I'm looking at these gorgeous flowers. Not only are they gorgeous flowers, the variety, the beauty, the symphony of loveliness. Are they real? Or am I talking about plastic? I'm talking about plastic flowers. They're still lovely. I don't care. Somebody still create them. God created the fibers. Let it go with that. They're still spectacular. But there's so much. There is so much. So when you feel alone, when we feel alone, let's remember we are not alone. And when we feel uninvited, we have a God inviting us in the dearest way, not a casual invitation, yeah, come over if you want. Wanting from the depth, inviting us, come to me. Come to me. So let us do that. Grow in our willingness to come to him and our willingness to come to him, take on his yoke, and surrender all we have. And we will see more time then for joy, more seasons of peace, more seasons of happiness and laughter, because our God is so good and he loves us so very much.